The Lord be with you.
With you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Then they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as I mentioned when we began worship, that we're celebrating on our 150th year, we're looking at what God has done and what he's calling us to do. So last week we talked about 150 and beyond for the next generation, and this week I want to talk about 150 and beyond for his glory. Worship is all about the glory of God. So over these 150 years, Trinity has worshiped in five places. So the first one of them, there we go. 520, if you can see at the top there, 526 South Main Street. It is the five-star dive bar. 1874, 150 years ago, we started worshiping there. These two guys, we've aged really well, haven't we? We're looking good. All right, that same year, we moved south of that, south of downtown, to the corner of what is Third, and it's Martin Luther King Drive now. There was a little small frame building that we had there. We actually picked it up and moved it in 1882 to the corner of East and State Street, and then 7 years later built this church at that same location. This is what we call the State Street Church. Then in 1952, we moved to West Boulevard, and many of you maybe know that church over by the hospital. We worshiped there until 2012. And then here, which is our fifth location, we began worshiping in 2003 in our gymnasium. How many of you worshiped in the gymnasium at one point? Many of us. Okay. In 2016, then, we finally dedicated to the Lord this place here. And if you were here around that time, you maybe remember that our theme was for his glory. And it came from this passage, Ephesians chapter 3. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." When we built our church, we gave our very best. We wanted to build more than just a place to get together. We wanted this place to be beautiful. We wanted it to reflect the glory of God. Our church is a statement. I mean, you walk in and go, "Wow, this place says something." It's a creed in brick and in glass and in stone and timber and artwork. It says, it portrays what we believe. And when we built it, and when we dedicated it, that itself was an act of worship. Again, all of it was to praise God and to give him thanks for what he has done. This place is for his glory. Amen? Amen. Which is another way of saying it's for love. We love you, Lord. We did this because we love you. Because that's how love responds. We do this all the time, right? If you have a special occasion, you get all dressed up for it. You decorate your homes because you want them to be warm and welcoming, a loving environment. You spend all kinds of money on extravagant gifts for your loved ones to say, "I love you." This year for Christmas, I got Shelley an air fryer. Right? I mean, nothing says I love you like an air fryer, right? But she asked for it. She wanted it. It's a practical gift. My wife is a very practical person. Actually, she just went ahead and ordered it for herself online. I didn't have to do a thing. I was like, this is great. Oh, you're so romantic, Pastor. No, but actually, I also got tickets to see Little Women later this spring because it's one of her favorite stories. And I did that because I wanted to say, I love you. I love you. We built this church because we wanted to say, we love you, Lord. But it's not just a building. It's really meant to be about the way we build our lives. Worship is not just what we do in this place. Worship is actually a lifestyle. We want everything to be for His glory. We want every part of our lives to say, I love you, Lord. In fact, you can evaluate your life. The measure of your life is all wrapped up in those three words. Everything you say or do, is it for His glory? Are the words coming out of your mouth for His glory? Is your vocabulary laced with vulgarity? Your conversation with crudeness? Or is it bringing Him glory? The things you say about other people, are you tearing them down with gossip and all kinds of meanness? Or are you building them up and encouraging them, defending them, speaking well of them, putting the best construction on everything? What about your actions? Do you just use people to get what you want out of life? Or do you treat people with honor and reverence and respect? How about your money? How do you spend your money? Your money reveals your priorities. So are your priorities for His glory? And this one might sound strange at first, but it's true. What about your sex life? Is the way you're living your sexuality for His glory? What about the decisions that you make? I'm talking about the big life choices, the changes that you make in life. Is it all about, well, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to go do it? Or do you stop and ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go to college? What's the career you want me to take? Who's the spouse you want me to marry? Is it for His glory? Everything can be evaluated by those three words. Everything, either it says, I love you, Lord, or it's saying something else. Now, we have to remember that we don't give God glory as if He didn't already have it, as if He needed it from us. All of our acts of devotion, our praise, our adoration, nothing we do adds something to Him. He is not lacking anything. He certainly delights in all of it, but He doesn't need it from us the way that our egos sometimes need it. Right? Look at me, praise me, make me feel good about myself, make me feel significant, I need you to give me attention. Look at me, look, you're not looking at me, look at me, right? That's the way we are. God is not a megalomaniac. He's not a show-off. Honestly, when He shows His glory, it's not for Him. It's actually for us. When He shows His glory, He's not flexing at us. He wants us to enjoy it. He wants us to enjoy Him. Okay, so then what is this glory we're talking about? There's a church word that we use all the time. Have you noticed how many times we've used the word glory already in the first half of church, and we're going to use it a bunch more in the second half? What exactly is the glory of God? First of all, we really can't even begin to put it into words. But it would be something like the infinite beauty and holiness and perfection and greatness and goodness, etc., 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 of God, and it's on full display. We will sing in a moment, as we do every week, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. The whole heaven and earth reveal to us how great He is. Great isn't a great enough word to even begin to describe all of this. The glory of God, in one sense, is Him going public. Not for His own sake, but for ours. We heard on Christmas Day the gospel from John chapter 1, and it says this: "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the one and only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is the glory of God on full display, in living color, in human flesh. Jesus is God ultimately, finally going public. And that's a bit of what our gospel is about today. We get a little glory glimpse of Jesus as he heals this man with demon possession. And immediately we're told the reaction to that. It says that his fame spread everywhere. But you see, fame is different than glory. Fame is sort of widespread reputation, renown. Fame, of course, rises and then it fades. It used to be that in order to be famous, you needed to actually do something worthwhile. You know, you had to achieve something, have some kind of ability or quality about you that made you a famous person. Today, with all the social media and all the influencing, you know, all you got to do is just get noticed, right? Just do something obnoxious and you'll get famous. You just get all that attention. And of course, that just feeds this narcissistic culture of ours. Jesus did not want to be famous. In fact, he always is retreating from this. He didn't seek glory. He had glory. Jesus is full of glory. Paul tells us in Colossians 1, "For in him the fullness of the deity dwells bodily." Fame maybe grabs attention, but it doesn't usually change hearts. Now, it is interesting that famous people today, celebrities, they're always telling us, this is how you should think, and this is what you should feel about this issue and that, da, 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 da. They're always telling us what we should think and what we should feel. But does that actually change what you think and how you feel? I sure hope it doesn't. Jesus does not want to be famous. He is glorious. And he has that glory of God on full display, and it's for us. This is what changes our hearts and our minds. Because you see, when that glory, that infinite beauty and holiness and goodness and power and might and perfection and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, when he shows us all of that, he's shouting to you and to me, "I love you." So how can we then not respond and say back, "And Lord, I love you. I want it to all be for your glory." In the second century, St. Irenaeus said this powerful phrase: "The glory of God is man fully alive." Think about that. The glory of God is man fully alive. Jesus came to make us fully alive. He came to make us full of his glory. This is why we always evaluate our lives and say, "Is this or is this not for his glory?" In other words, am I fully alive? Am I fully alive? Because in Jesus, friends, we become the glory of God on full display. We become God going public. That infinite beauty and holiness and goodness, etc., yada, 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 all of that begins to shine through us. He is the sun, and we are like the moon, reflecting the splendor of his light. Here's what I'm driving at. If you didn't get anything else, get this part right now. Heaven and earth are full of his glory. And so are you. So are you. You are full of his glory. So shine. Let it all be for his glory. Let me give you just a moment to reflect on that and pray about that, to evaluate your life. Am I living for his glory? And offer it now all to him, all for his glory.